I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to gamertagradio.com or podfest.us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 717. This is your host, Danny, and also we have P in the house. Pete.
Yo, what's up?
Good, man. Good. No Paris for this episode.
Nope.
And for those that are listening to this episode, we're taking a week off, and we'll be back on Twitch on November 26th, and then the podcast is coming out November 27th. So we're taking a week off due to the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving here in the States. But we'll be back stronger than ever, of course, to have more content for you guys. And we decided to review Star Wars Battlefront 2 on that day. The reason why is because, you know, I already played the game multiple times. I was at the review event. You know, I've been playing the game here for a couple of days. But P and Paris just got the game, and I think it will be a better conversation overall when we all talk about our experience of with Star Wars Battlefront 2. You know, I have a couple of things to say here about everything that's been going on, because, you know, I was at the review and I think it's fair for me to say my piece on my experience during the event and everything. So, and everything that's going on now too. So, but P, anything else you want to say about that?
So I just wanted to clarify that, you know, pretty much what you were saying. You know, we all got codes, and we only thought it was fair that we give a full review with the opinions of all of the hosts.
Yes.
Like, you know, that allows us not only to give a fairer review, because you're going to be doing your review based on your experience on the Xbox One X. I'm going to be doing my review based on my experience on PC, and Paris is going to be doing his based on his experience on the PlayStation 4. On top of that, we didn't want to have the discussion we're going to have later on in this show to be something that would potentially cloud our experience or our review. So we wanted to keep them separate. So that, you know, we don't think that it's going to make a, you know, those shouldn't be as, you know, those shouldn't be given a heavier weight just because we happen to be talking about it now and potentially swaying someone else's decision or review based on that. Right. So we felt it was best for the listener in general, just to have those separate in, you know, so that way we can, you know, give a fairer review. That being said, it's time to get into it. So,
all right. So head over to gamertagradio.com, or you can find us on different locations. You could go to Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. You could go over there, download the podcast, subscribe. And if you get the chance, if you're on iTunes, make sure to review, post a review there. It will help us out big time. So, make sure to do that. To support GTR.
Send us your feedback or questions.
Yeah.
Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so now let's talk about, which one should I start first, Pete? My experience at the event or what's been going on for the past few days, like the whole MicroTrack sessions?
I think it would be because I think we can cover some components and use it as a transition into it. So let's just go ahead and get started with your experience, and then we can fall back on, and then we can move forward with the microtransaction discussion.
Mm-hmm. All right, so. You know, we always get invited to go to like preview events, review events, and so on from different companies. And, you know, this one, I got an email from EA that originally they invited me in Paris to go. Paris couldn't go due to, you know, work and all that stuff. But I went over there and I was excited, you know, because, you know, we play the game. What was it during E3? And actually, we had a blast. All of us played the PC version. And I had a lot of fun, right? So, you know, I get to the event and there was a lot of new cats, a lot of people that never been to a review event. You know, a lot of them are YouTubers, some are bloggers and so on. And a lot of them were kind of nervous because it was like their first event at this, at a gaming event, you know? So I mentioned this to a couple of people. One of them was actually next to me during a flight, and we didn't know each other. Like, we met during a flight. I was like, hey, you're wearing a Discord partner, and we talked about video games, and then he mentioned, yeah, I'm going to an event, whatever, and that's how the conversation came up. But every single person I spoke to at the event, I was telling them that, look, you know, I've been doing this for a very long time. It's very, very important for you to be straight up real with your readers, viewers, just give you honest feedback to the developers or PR that have been working on this game or marketing this game for a while, because once the next game comes out, they'll learn from their mistakes or whatever they learn from the past one based on the feedback, and also from the feedback from the community, they will make those changes. They were like, man, you know, a lot of them agreed, and a lot of them was kind of like, didn't know, they were kind of maybe scared to say something, you know, and we've seen that, P, right?
Right.
We've seen that from a lot of people that they're just afraid to say, hey, this game needs work. And that's fine. It's the way how you say it, I think. You know, you can't just say, oh, this game sucks.
And right. Like, and again, it's not, you know, what you say, it's how you say it. I think these programs, whether it be, you know, the Game Changers or any of those other programs that are used to get feedback, you should be critical. You shouldn't be afraid to say what you want to say for fear of retribution, either because you won't get in, you think you might not get in, be invited back. I think for the most part, most developers or engineers, they want that critical feedback. That's why you're there. Right. They're there to get your unbiased opinion because they trust you in general. And that's why they invited you to those programs. You should be invited to be completely honest, because without that brutal honesty from a trusted colleague, you know, if you're only going to get yes men, your product is going to either be, you know, it's either going to be, you know, faulty, or you're going to have false expectations based on that feedback. So, you know, if you get those opportunities to review a product, or, be some kind of a test environment for something, be honest without feeling that you have to give them, you know, a positive answer. Or like, yeah, this is great, this is fantastic, just because they flew you out there, they sent you out there. Be honest. That's what they're asking for. If not, you're doing them a disservice. And if you're going to eventually go back and use that product, you're doing yourself a disservice. So why not be honest? Be truthful. That's what you're there for.
Exactly. And I'll have to mention this because, you know, I like this game. This game is not bad. Like, I really had a fun time. I think I had a better time with the campaign, in my opinion, even though it seemed a little rushed, in my opinion. I'm going to talk more about this on the next episode, but, you know, there's some cool moments in the game and the campaign and everything, but I felt like it was too rushed, and I had a lot of questions about the main character. Matter of fact, I got to give a shout out to Janine. I think she did an awesome job, you know, with what she had there, like script rise and everything like that. So shout out to her. I think she did an awesome job. But, you know, multiplayer was fun. It was cool. I think this game overall is fun is better than the last one. I think they took a lot of the feedback that we gave to the developers at DICE, and they made some changes, you know. And now with this whole MicroTransaction stuff, you know, when we were at the event, we got to play the game, the full game. So when we started, we were just playing single player on day one. And then at the end of day one, we started playing multiplayer. But, you know, nothing was unlocked. It was just straight up here, try it out. You know, we played a lot. Then the next day, we continued playing like that. Then they unlocked everything for us to check out, like the heroes, the weapons, everything. And it was fun. Dude, we were cracking up. We were laughing. We were like talking a lot about the game. You know, we talked about things that we liked, things we didn't like, you know, like between each other, that we were sitting close to each other and stuff. There was like 48 people there, man, you know. And I think overall was fun. Now, the tricky part is when, you know, the version on EA Access comes out, and then there's a whole confusion going on, right? Because when we were playing the game, you needed a certain amount of credits from the game in order for you to unlock certain heroes or weapons and so on. And I think also when you play the single player game, you also get credits from that too, which a lot of people don't know about that, I guess. But you get it from there or from playing multiplayer, right? So when the video version came out, like all those like previews and I think some reviews too, it was the credits amount was different than the one that everybody had through EA Access. And I think there was a miscommunication between the team, the developers, or whoever was handling the event. So we had one thing, the video's out, and everybody's like, wait a minute, oh, this is a conspiracy, or they're tricking. Like, and people got to understand, it wasn't, I think it was more of a miscommunication. Now, we mentioned this a couple of times, Pete. I think that it's okay for companies, in my opinion, it's okay to have microtransactions, but it depends how they use it. If it's a way that's going to ruin my gaming experience, then I will not support that. But there's games like Overwatch and Destiny 2 has it. You know, they have microtransactions, but it didn't really interfere with my gaming experience overall. Like, I still did my own thing. I didn't really worry about buying, you know, silver or anything to upgrade my character in the game, you know? So same thing with Star Wars. Yes, the grinding is a little bit too much. But I think that EA and a lot of other companies are still learning about microtransactions. Like, they test the water sometimes while they're testing it, is done pretty badly. And then that's when everybody's going to start attacking and everything, you know? So I think that they did a pretty bad job with that. The version that we played was a little bit different. This version, EA Access, with another different version, was like, it was freaking confusing, you know? So, but the good thing is that, you know, I'm mentioning this because I don't want people to think, oh, you know, they flew Danny and a bunch of other people and they saying everything is fine. No, there's things that I'm going to save for the review that I want to talk about that I think is important, and I want them to make that change for the next game, you know? And that's as should be, man. You know, people are saying, oh, this is the greatest game ever. No, this is not the greatest game ever. You have to say the truth. And it's okay. It's not a bad game. People are saying, because of the whole drama, now they're calling this a crappy game or game, whatever. And honestly, I play way worse games than this. This is not a bad game. It's a okay game. You know, so, but it made it more difficult because of the whole drama that's been going on.
Well, remember, there's two components to this. You have the single player campaign, which gives you credits towards which you can use to unlock or purchase loot boxes or trooper crates or whatever, or locked heroes to use in the multiplayer, right? So I just want to clarify this, because since we're not really doing the review, I want to make sure that we separate those, you know, the discussion points.
Yes,
because we're doing the review after the words, right? We're doing the review of the game afterwards. So we do need to do some clarification for people who are listening to the show, so that they understand where we're going for. you can get loot boxes, or, you know, we'll just call them loot boxes now. I know they go by trooper crates, but we're going to call them loot boxes at this point. And inside those loot boxes, you get star cards. So those star cards are what you're supposed to use to increase your progression. The heroes are not. The heroes are what you're using the credits to purchase in game, right? So
yeah,
you use the star cards essentially to craft them with other components that you get within the trooper, you know, the loot crates, and those are what makes your hero stronger. Yes, it, you know, it's going to take you about 80,000 credits, I think, to get like Luke or Darth Vader, but those take an actual. It takes you about 40 hours of playtime to earn those individually, not just, you know, getting, you know, enough of those loot crates to be able to start leveling them up from beyond being just the base Darth Vader or the base Luke Skywalker or whomever you get. You know, do some of these crates have credits within them? Yes. And you can use those to unlock the heroes. So essentially the only way, you know, you could put in a bunch of hours. I think the number is like 4,500 hours or something like that. Or you could purchase enough heroes with enough money and you could buy enough crates, which I think comes out to like $2,000. But understand, that's $2,000 hoping that you get all of the cards you need. You may not, you know, that's all. There's always that RNG factor within it that says, you know, you could get everything within the first $150. You can get everything within the first $2,000. Your mileage may vary, obviously, and that's your, you know, that's, you know, the wallet warrior mentality sometimes. I think the other component of it was the time investment requirement to unlock the most expensive heroes. And so one of EA's things, one of the ways that they thought, you know, that they're trying to remedy the situation is by reducing the cost by 75% overall, right? So characters that cost, we'll use a base number of 10,000 credits, now cost 2,500. But at the same time, your progression to gain credits has also been reduced by 75%. So the people that are lucky are the people that beat the game early on before they implemented the update, and you got your 20,000 credits for beating the game. So now you can buy everything for 5,000 credits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to unlock characters like the main protagonist, Aiden Versio, I think, or Eden Versio.
Yeah, I call it Aiden Versio.
Aiden Versio, right. So, there's a lot of things. And now, on top of that, they also released a cooldown on credits that you earned in single-player arcade mode, right? So before, people could play the single-player campaign at least and at least get a large modicum of credits. Well, now they almost seemingly went pay to win, you know, free to play, and said, okay, well, you can only get X amount, and then you need to chill, and maybe go play PUBG or something, right? Or Destiny if you're Paris. But that's almost like changing the game on the fly, almost to the degree of being a completely different game now that you've gone in. So now you're paying $60 to pay a free to play game. That almost doesn't make sense, right? So I know there's going to be people who are listening to what I'm saying, Pete, you're smoking crack. You're wrong. That's just my opinion. That's how I'm feeling about the situation, right? So you have to understand that there's concepts of MMO that are being brought into a shooter game. And when you're talking about MMOs, you're basically saying you get a cheap upfront cost, similar to, you know, $10, $20, maybe $30, followed by a monthly subscription, because it's a genre that's all about grinding. But here, it's almost like they're making the grind to unlock these iconic characters in the game nearly impossible to achieve unless people either have an absurd amount of free time to devote to this or they've got money. Right? And in a sense, it's almost skewing the part of the competitive side of the game more towards the people who are willing to throw the wallet at the game to buy these things. So essentially, if you don't pay, you're going to suck for a couple of months until you've spent enough time invested in the game to do what you got to do, right? To get to that. So I don't know. Like, and again, I'm not going to let this transaction, you know, the microtransactions skew or alter my review. My review will be based on my experience playing the game. in the game.
It should be
only.
Like that.
And that's how it should be. But there are components where sometimes, you know what? Do you dock them half a point or a point as a result? Right? Because it's still part of the game, right? And people are listening to us and trusting us to do, you know, to give them a fair assessment of the overall product. And these microtransactions and the model that they've altered the game to has essentially become that, right? So it's part of the game. So we should talk about that, you know. So who knows? I might dock them. I need to put more thought, and I want to see, you know, and who knows? They did all of this within a couple of days. You know, maybe by the time we, you know, we have our review out, maybe they've added a few more changes to it that maybe improve it. So, you know, let's, you know, again, our mileage may vary. My review may not be the same as Danny's and or Paris's. So, but at the end of the day, the other thing, that we need to talk about was, the alleged threats on developers, at EA.
Oh, I know I have something to mention about that.
Right. And I know that there's been a couple of instances where, you know, some may have skewed more towards the false or skeptical side, and some may have been realistic, but at the end of the day, this is a video game. This is an entertainment experience, and it never should ever get to that. You know, threaten the company with your wallet, but never with physical violence. At the end of the day, we're human beings across the board. It should never get to, you know, discussing violence when we're talking about a video game, with the exception of Dr. Disrespect, you know, because that's his shtick. Mm-hmm. But with regards to this, we as the human race in 2017 should never have to revert to talking about death threats or anything else like that, or, you know, threatening with violence because of a video game. Air your grievances via words, air your grievances via not spending money, but don't ever, you know, threaten a developer or anybody as a result. I think it's childish and it's foolish.
I do want to mention this because one of our listeners sent us a message through Discord. Also, you could email us or call us on our voicemail if you want to, like, send your feedback or post questions stuff for the crew. But Shadow Thief, I don't know if you read that message, Pete. He said that he has a bone to pick with both of us, because a few weeks ago we talked about the gaming community reaction with the whole microtransactions and everything. He said that every gaming podcast issued the concern about this, right? The fear of pay to win model, which we mentioned this many times in the past. I said that it's okay for company to have microtransactions as long as it doesn't affect my gaming experience. Let me say this again so people know. Microtransactions, it's okay to me if it doesn't affect my gaming experience. It could be single player, it could be multiplayer. If it's a pay to win model, then I have an issue, right? But a game like Ghost Recon, it has microtransactions. Destiny 2 has it too. A couple other games, I'm okay with that because it never ruined my gaming experience. That's the thing that we've been saying since the get. But once you have microtransactions that people could easily put in money and take advantage of their, like, online matches and stuff like that just because they pay to win, I think it's unfair. And there's no reason for us to buy a game like that, in my opinion, because you're ruining my experience and also others too.
Right. Well, remember with, like, Destiny, those things really don't affect the outcome of games. Whereas this most definitely does. You can buy loot crates, which would give you star cards, which would improve the performance of weapons and explosives, etc., or improve the performance and progression of one of your heroes, whether it be Luke or Darth Maul, personally my favorite. You know, so you know, you have to look at that tipping scale of justice right now, you know, and it's like, unfortunately, you know, the Battlefront 2 kind of has that heavy hand right now where all of the negatives, you know, are starting to outweigh the benefits of playing, you know, any other similar game where you've got an, you know, where you've got a shooter mixed with MMO tendencies. So, you know, it's, I don't know if it's about changing the stance, and I think we've all said it. We always have to take these things with a grain of salt and take them individually, because no two games are remarkably alike. You know, there's always, if that was the case, then I think there'd be a hell of a lot more lawsuits in the video game industry if they were a lot more tighter or restrictive on, you know, what they would consider as copycats. So again, if it affects the outcome of a multiplayer game, I think it's more heinous. And I'm saying that as an avowed wallet warrior on Ghost Recon Wildlands, but those things that I purchased didn't affect Ghost War. When I go into Ghost War, you start off from scratch. You start off with nothing. Mm-hmm. You start off with just the base weapons. So while it did affect my single player slash co-op experience, because I had, you know, bigger, better weapons and accessories and stuff like that, that was only the single player campaign or co-op experience that I would do with my friends versus a competitive experience on the multiplayer, you know? So I think because a lot of this is skewed towards your progression within the multiplayer, which is where everybody gets all fidgety and nervous and whatnot, I think it's made it almost, and I don't want to be on the fence now with it, but it kind of sounds like it's, I don't know. I really think that, you know, EA made a mistake with this, and, you know, hopefully. No,
but here's the thing, and I think that we had this conversation a long time ago with the original Destiny game, and I think Paris was the one that brought that up. You know, I think there were they added these like dances where people could just buy it. Do you remember that, Pete?
Yep, I bought two of them.
And here's the thing, for those that don't know, and you know, I feel like a lot of people just focusing on the microtransaction part, which is great to have a conversation about that. Everybody, it's cool, right? But here's the thing. All the DLCs is going to be free. All of them. Every single one of them is going to be totally free. So for this game, for Battlefront 2. Now, even there's also a DLC for the single player campaign. I think it's like a story about the main character, which comes out next month in December. That's also free. So how is EA is going to pay for all that work, for all the DLCs that they worked on from the game? Same thing with Destiny, Bungie. How are they going to pay for all the work that they've done for, like, the, you know, the free stuff that they've been doing it for a couple years, right? And of course they had expansions and stuff, but what about the free stuff? They had to pay. That's money for that work. So you also gotta think about that side too, from that business side. You know, right now everybody's like, oh, it's $60, oh, microtransaction. But you also gotta think about the stuff that they work on the side that's gonna be free for you, for the gamer. Like, look, I've been playing Battlefront 2 for the past few days because I got it early, of course, right? And so far, I haven't even thought about microtransactions. I've just been playing, unlocking, ranking up, playing the single player game, playing multiplayer game. So far has been good. This is even before they made the changes. Now they made the changes. That's why I think it's good that we waited for us to review the game later, because now there's going to be more people, and now we're going to feel the full experience with all the gamers from all versions now playing. The good and the bad, we're going to see it from there. And maybe there's going to be more changes because of that too, like P said earlier on the podcast. So you also got to think about that too, man. This is a business, and I mentioned this. If a game is free, the company has to get money in some way, because that's not fair. If they have everything for free, how they're going to be broke? They've been working for so many hours.
You have to take it. And there was a major, major discussion on this last night in our Discord. So if you haven't had a chance, hit up discord.gg/GTR, become a member of the GTR community, and you can become a part of these conversations that we had. And I swear, I was playing PUBG last night with a couple of friends. I looked at the screen and there was like 101 messages of, you know, from different people just commenting back and forth on this stuff. And you have to one thing a lot of people don't take into consideration is in business, there's a concept of CapEx and OpEx, right? Capital expenditure, operational expenditure. A lot of these things take into account, you know, human resources, salary, benefits. Then you've got the building you've got to rent, or if you own, or if the company owns it or leases it or what have you. Then you've got electricity, you've got network and internet, and then, you know, all of that soft costs for people. You've got hardware, you've got the desks and the computers and the things that the people functionally work on to create these games, right? You've got the licenses, whether it's a Linux or it's, you know, Windows. Then you've got all the software that, you know, you've got software costs for whether they're using Source or they're using, in this case, they're using Frostbite, you know. Granted, it's internal, so that cost doesn't get them hit them as hard, but you've got like Unreal Engines or other different engines, whether it's for sound, video, CGI, etc. Then you've got the network part of it. You've got all the software stuff. You know, you've got servers. You've got the network components. You know, you got software maintenance on all of those, the data center costs, servers to host these multiplayers. And then, like you were saying, Danny, you've got revenue sharing with your publishers. You know, if you're a first party, you know, if you're someone, we'll use like Naughty Dog, for example, right? You know, they're first party, so perhaps maybe their revenue share isn't as steep, but you've got a second, you know, you've got a, what is it called? A second party developer, like, we'll say Respawn prior to EA buying them, right? Prior to last week, you've got a higher revenue share now because you're sharing that EA name to be able to publish your title, you know, and then you've got third parties, you know, so you've got third party developers, you know, we'll say like Ubisoft, you know, Ubisoft now has to go out and, you know, it's just, there's so much cost that potentially you could be already in the $50-$100 million ranges when you're talking about a game like Star Wars Battlefront 2 or Destiny 2 or, you know, like say Halo 6. We're just going to use that as a random example right now. You know, there's so much money on the back end that consumers don't always think about. They just think, oh, they just made the video game. They're just printing money. No, there's a lot of costs and a lot of investment. And we haven't even gone into the marketing component of this, you know, where you've got commercials and, you know, video ads and radio ads and print ads. So there's a lot of costs in the background that people really aren't taking into consideration all the time. And that's what a lot of these microtransactions help reduce, because God knows I can't imagine that there's that much microtransaction purchases where they're wholesale covering complete costs. But like last year, Destiny had those Eververse stuff, and I still think they're doing it to this day. Those costs, the money they get from Eververse offsets the cost for the Halloween event, you know, the Festival of the Dead or what have you, or then the Halloween and Christmas and things like that. I think I remember they had the one for Valentine's Day, and you know, that offsets the cost for those things. Yes. But you've got 2-3 years of development, you know, that the company's eating the cost of to try to develop this. And hopefully it makes enough money on launch, but they need something to sustain the cost, to sustain that network, sustain the servers, and sustain the experience. And plus hope that you can get DLC in the future. Yeah. And that's why you pay for that DLC, to help keep sustain the product moving forward. So, I mean, that just, I don't want to sound like an apologist for the corporate side of it, but I mean,
but it's true. It's true. What
people have to take that into consideration when they start to formulate their arguments, whether they're pro or against microtransactions.
Yeah. I think a lot of the people just are talking about what's happening at the moment. They're not thinking about the other stuff behind the scenes. Look, every time you buy a game, check out the credits. Check out the credits. I tell you this, I bet 99.9% of the people that are there, they worked on the game. Others are just like thank yous or whatever, but the majority of them is always people that worked on these games, and it's a lot of people. The longer the credits, I think the more money they wasted on that, man.
Yeah,
they invested
in me. Can you imagine a company like, well, you know, we'll use Ubisoft as an example. You've got, you know, you've got stateside, you've got the ones in Canada, you have the ones in France, you have the ones in China and India. All these different studios working collaboratively on a game so that you've got, you know, follow the sun type development cycles where, you know, there's all, the game's always in an iteration development cycle, right? Going around the world. And that's how come they're able to sometimes put out those games every 12 to 16 months because they've got, you know, development teams working on it around the clock. But can you imagine just on the back end, the amount of money that they have to expend just for these titles? And then imagine when you have games that maybe don't survive that shelf life because they were either a commercial or a critical failure.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Shout out to Movement Watches for supporting Gamertag Radio. And similar to them, you know, GTR started the same way with Danny, you know, just saying, you know what, I want to start it. You know, I'm just going to do a podcast talking about Phantasy Star Online. And like them, you know, Movement started the same thing. It was started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So how do you do that? You start up your own watch company, right? And so the cool thing about Movement Watches is they look dope and they're not like $400, $500, $600 like you would find in a department store. They start at $95. And the way they do that is they figured out that by selling them online, they cut out the middlemen and you don't have to go to retail and mark up and, you know, sell your things for super expensive prices. I've got one, love the way it looks, super classy, but contemporary, really, really dope, clean design. Over 1 million watches sold in over 160 different countries. You know, so how can you get one on your wrist? Just go to mvmt.com/GTR. You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free return in case you don't like it. You know, so the watch is a really, really dope design. I know Danny's posted his on Instagram, posted mine. Want to go to one of those, one of our Instagrams and check out the pictures or send us a message. We'll be happy to send you a picture of what it looks like. Now's the time to set up your watch game. Go to movement.com. That's mvmt.com/GTR. Join the movement.
Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa
with mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months, charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
About Disney shuts down Marvel Heroes. My question to you, Pete, was this a free game? Because I don't know much about Marvel Heroes. I don't know anything about that game.
Sorry. So it came out in 2013 for the PC. Think of it as like Diablo meets Marvel as an MMO, right? So Okay. Yes, it was a free-to-play game that sells playable characters like, you know, Spider-Man, Moon Knight, Squirrel Girl, and then, you know, different costumes for them. Earlier this year, the game got ported to PS4 and Xbox One. It looks like, you know, Gazillion Entertainment and Disney had their, Marvel, but Marvel resides under the Disney banner. Marvel decided that it wanted to end its relationship with Gazillion Entertainment. There was an email that went out today that said, "We regret to inform our Marvel Hero fans that we have ended our relationship with Gazillion Entertainment and that the Marvel Heroes games will be shut down. We would like to sincerely thank the players who joined the Marvel Heroes community and will provide any further updates as they become available." Now, if the developer is being shut down, or they're shutting down the game or the relationship with the company, how are they going to provide updates?
And see, this is the perfect example. This is a free-to-play game.
Right. Survived by or sustained by, I don't want to say survived by, well, I guess now it's not going to be surviving by, but it was sustained by DLC in the form of people being able to purchase characters or various costumes for those. So, you know, from what I've been able to read and research, there was three different rounds of layoffs. Community managers apparently disappeared from the forum. There was supposed to be a release of a Gladiator Thor pack, and I haven't been able to read up enough to see if they've actually done it, but Gazillion apparently has missed four of its weekly community updates, including a Halloween event, as well as some tie-ins to the Thor Ragnarok stuff. So,
oof. You know, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, okay. I mean, and this comes on the heels of a couple of other, you know, over the last couple of months, we've seen studios shut down and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's almost like it's a cutthroat industry at this point, right? You know, if games succeed, then they live to see another day. If they're not commercially viable, which is why companies like EA has said we want to look more towards a services model versus a, you know, individual product model. This is what they're doing. This is why they want to be able to start off with a product and continue to sustain it. Like we've seen it with Rainbow Six. Rainbow Six is a phenomenal example of it, as well as like For Honor for Ubisoft, where they have a title and then they continue to iterate on top of it, continuing to build upon it. So it's not just, you know, you're not just buying a bundle of games and DLC. It's services, it's games, it's game modes, it's different things. Ghost Recon Wildlands is another example. And I'm using Ubisoft because it's fresh in the brain of what we've been talking about and what we've been playing. But, you know, mm-hmm. Ghost War was free. That was a totally new mode, completely free.
Let's go with the next topic here. Pete, we're excited about the Game Awards, I think. In my opinion, I think we're excited because the nominees that they announced, I think it's good so far. I liked it. I like it so far. I can't wait for the actual awards. I'm going to watch it at home. Or maybe I'll attend. Who knows? I'm still debating about that. But let's talk about the Game of the Year. There's two things I want to talk about. That, the Game of the Year, and also future games. I anticipated most games that's coming out soon, I guess. So we're going to talk about that later. So the one that I really want to talk about is Game of the Year. And here's the games that were nominated. Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Nintendo Switch, Super Mario Odyssey, also Nintendo Switch, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, Persona 5, and Horizon Zero Dawn. So, great games. Now, I see two sides of this, Pete. Let's go with PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. That game is still early access, right? So do you still consider that as Game of the Year because of that? Like these games that they announced that is nominated, all these are full games, everything. But this is still early access. And I know that they made a major impact this year in the industry. This game made a huge impact on YouTube, Twitch, everywhere, right? But I feel like it's not the full game. I think it would have been better to announce this as Game of the Year maybe next year when the full version of the game is coming out. So you, as a Battlegrounds fan, what are your thoughts about this controversy that everybody's talking about right now online?
Because of its contribution and the buzz and the hype, essentially, that Bluehole has done, well, you know, PUBG Corp, as it's now called, has done with this title and with this genre. It's flipped the industry on its head, where now it has its own set of, I don't want to call them direct copycats, but you have people that are emulating the Battle Royale game type, right? You have probably the most well-known, you know, you and I have had this conversation. I may have gotten enhanced because you're talking about my favorite game, PUBG. Fortnite. Return to Tarkov, I think is the name, is another one that is a battle royale type first person shooter. Same concept. You're dropped into an environment. You have to survive till you get to the end. In that respect, yes, where you've got other games coming out that have used your model for success and have now created their own. I do think it does deserve it. Not just because of that, but because of A, it's been a hell of a commercial success for Bluehole.
Agreed.
It's about to be a monster for Microsoft for the Xbox division because it's going to be coming out on Xbox One X and Xbox One in the next couple of weeks. You know, you've got a I almost want to say a pack of rabid fans dying to play that. I know you've been dying to play it.
Yeah.
And I've got a bunch of friends.
I tried playing it.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of friends that are dying to play it, and they've been asking me like, "Hey, are you going to be playing on Xbox when this comes out?" And I have to now split my time between PC and Xbox to play it because there's people I want to play with online on Xbox Live. So yes, I do feel that PUBG, even as an early access title, still qualifies as a contender because, dude, you can ask anybody that's played the game in any way. Like, there's a smaller percentage of people that said, nah, it's not for me, versus the ones that have played it and be like, okay, yeah, I can see why it's fun. Paris, who has, you know, probably, the, you know, you and him probably have the same amount of hours in the game. Right?
No, I don't have 0 hours. I can't play on my Mac. I tried.
But he sees the potential. He sees why. You know, I mean, when you have a game, and I think I talked about this on the last show, when you have a game that has a following on a streaming platform like YouTube or Twitch, just to watch the game. I mean, hell, I spent an hour watching videos today alone of just, you know, of YouTubers and Twitch personalities that I follow. Watching gameplay, just watching them play. I posted one in the Discord channel, in the PUBG channel within our Discord server today. You know, it's such a fun game that yes, personally, my opinion again, your mileage may vary. Yes, I do believe it deserves to be in that game of the years.
Now here's the tricky part, Pete. What if this is a big if? Which, who knows? It might happen. But what if this game wins over Zelda, Mario, Horizon Dawn, and Persona 5?
Congrats.
You think the controversy will get even worse? Because remember, these are full games. This is not early access, Pete. Full games. Do you think that's fair if they win?
When you look at the four other titles, those are all adventure RPG-ish games. Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, Horizon Zero Dawn. I haven't really watched or played Persona 5, so I have zero to go on.
It's RPG.
Okay, so RPG adventure. Totally different. Like, if you had an RPG / adventure game of the year and you had those four in there, then I could totally see it. And if somebody put PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds in there, I'd slap them upside the back of their head because they'd be wrong. You don't put a game like this in that. But why can't a game like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds be considered a game of the year?
Pete, when you go up against the game of the year early access, though, Pete,
why not?
I can understand the impact. I can understand impact that the game had.
It's throughout the year. It's the only non-Valve game that's ever been developed that's been to the top, the number one, and still sits there atop the leaderboard of players playing the game. Over CSGO, over Dota. Previous to this year, that was unheard of. Hell, previous to E3, that was unheard of. And it was still a fever pitch for people to play PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. That was a month and a half, 2 months in at that point. I never in a million years figured that this would be the game that would be the number one played game on Twitch. I figured, yeah, it'll hit its stride and it'll be hot for a couple of months, and you know, this will hold me over till October, November, you know, when all. But no, it still holds people to play. I mean, when you're talking 2.2 million consecutive people online playing, that's a considerable amount.
Again, yet, Pete, I understand the impact.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from Super Mario Odyssey or Horizon Zero Dawn I haven't played Persona 5 or Legend of Zelda, so I'm not going to speak on those, and I can't. Me personally, it's between Super Mario Odyssey and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. But they're two distinctly different games, and it's really, really hard to make that decision on which one. At that point, it becomes subjective to decide, what do you like better? Do you like single-player adventure games, or do you like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, or do you like multiplayer-type shooter games? Me, obviously, I'm in love with the game. I love PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and I will tell you, I have a lot of hours in Odyssey, but I've got a hell of a lot more. But I have a hell of a lot more in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, right? So you kind of already know where my head's going to lead towards Game of the Year decisions. Super Mario Odyssey is a phenomenal game. Phenomenal game. I'm still playing it. But PUBG has my heart. So for me, I'm probably going to say PlayerUnknown's because it's hooked me. It got me into games at a time that I was like, I'll play a game for a couple of weeks and then I'm out. I'll go to the next thing. This is the one thing that's hooked. I haven't been hooked like this since Call of Duty 4.
All right. Well, for those who are listening, send us your feedback.
I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail on this one. I know.
If you want, go to our Discord. Pete mentioned the Discord URL, please.
discord.gg/GTR.
And join the conversation. We could definitely talk about there. Or just send us an email, voicemail, or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio and let us know your opinion about this because I think this is very controversial, I think, in my opinion. I personally think they should add a early access game. I think they should add that. Because look, I think Jeff Keighley mentioned this a couple of days ago. The industry is evolving, and I think the categories of the awards should also evolve too, based on everything that's been going on, you know? But it's crazy. Game of the Year for an early access game. I don't know. I'm just kind of like weird about it, but, you know, but I understand the impact that game made in this industry. Like it's huge, you know? So, all right, Piso, I think we're going to wrap it up, man, here. And this is our last episode before Thanksgiving. What is going to be your plans for Thanksgiving, man?
Actually, me, the wife and the kids, we're going to a Korean restaurant for Korean barbecue for Thanksgiving. We're going to do a little something different. But
very different, Pete. Very different.
A little different, but, you know, it's something, you know, that, you know, I'm Korean, you know, so my son, he's part Korean. And it's kind of like an homage to my mom who passed away a couple of years ago, you know, to give thanks to family. And it's just going to be us. It's just going to be family, just us, right? So looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do the same thing too. I'm just going to relax, play some games.
I was like, you're going to Korean barbecue?
No. I'm saying like relax, you know, spend time with the family. I'm going to, you know, just hang out with the fam and play some games. I have to catch up. Dude, I'm playing everything here, man. You know, like I'm playing this Nintendo Switch, you know, Rocket League, Skyrim, Doom. Then I have the Xbox One X. You know, I'm playing Battlefront 2, Doom. By the way, that Doom story, oof, my God, it's nuts. Playing that. Man, I'm playing a lot of games. So thank God that I'm not really doing anything during that week. I'm just going to just play games and enjoy my little vacation. You know. Now, once we come back, yes, we have more content that we're gonna record and talk about. But remember this. We're taking a break in December. We always do this every year. We take the last 2 weeks off of December and the first week of January. So we're going to be taking 3 weeks off. Maybe during that time, we might stream here and there. We'll see. It all depends if we have time and stuff, but I think it's good for us to take a break. Once we come back, we refresh and we're ready to create more content for the show. And one thing I really want to mention is, you know, yesterday I was just thinking back of everything that we've been doing throughout 2017. And, I was like, man, I want to create a video. I want to create a video of everything that we've done. It's going to be kind of hard to put everything in there, like 100%. But I put a lot of like our interviews, our trips, the stuff that I've done, like promoting the movie, the media tour that went to the Dominican Republic. Like, I think this year was really good. Personally, I think it was like the best year overall when it comes to like content and opportunities. It was awesome, I think, this year. And I think 2018 is going to be bigger for us, man. You know, like right now, yes, we're still November, but man, let me tell you, time flies, man. right after Thanksgiving, dude, it's like, oh my God, December's here. Well, the year's over. It's like, it's super fast, you know? So, but we definitely plan to record our Game of the Year episode in December, which I'm very excited about that. And I think we have one more trip in December, and after that, we're good for 2017.
You think?
I think we're good. I think we're good. I hope, unless something random just popped up. Hey, do this. It's like, oh. But I think 2018 is looking good. Right? It's looking good for all of us, man. But shout out to Paris. He's going to be joining us on the next episode of GTR. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.